Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, here we go. It's a Red Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Steven Serta, Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp. Yep, there's the sign. There he is. He's not choking on his chew today. We're already off to a much better start on a Friday. Bink, you've got your notepad. You've got it. You're good to go. You fired up.
I learned from Terrell Suggs to bring your notepad.
I don't know if it was one of your high school buddies or something like that.
Oh, it resonated.
I don't know. Okay. Well, coming up in about a half hour, someone I know you're excited to talk to is going to join us. That'll be Andy Locke, the father of Drew Locke, of course, Denver Broncos quarterback. He's been on your show a couple times before, and we'll get his perspective on this, what it's like rivalry week. Chiefs-Broncos, of course, see his son take on the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. So he'll join us, and Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, coming up 1 hour from now. Can't wait to have Pete on the show. I looked on the board in the boss's office for the NFL Survivor picks that we give, and there's no pick there for Pete, so I don't know what's going on there. He's going to claim he picked the Eagles suddenly. I don't know.
Pete takes the L. It's just the way it is.
We shall see. We're going to find out. We got to talk to him about that. We'll also ask him, of course, about Le'Veon Bell and what kind of role he's going to have this Sunday in Denver for Kansas City against the Broncos. But on Monday, now you won't be here, but Bink, you're going to be happy or you're going to be kind of feeling crummy on Monday if this happens, particularly with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think if you look at the way the game has gone in the past for Kansas City in the last five games here, offensively for Kansas City, typically in the past, we would say if you're an opponent, first and foremost, you've got to score what? You got to score 30 points. Like that was the narrative most of last season. And it was the narrative for a reason. And it was the narrative for the first couple weeks of this season as well, that you got to score 30 or more to beat Kansas City. I don't think that's the case anymore. However, there still is a benchmark that you have to hit. And looking at this game on Sunday, if you're saying, hey, you're going to be happy on Monday, you score more than 23. It's, to me, if you want to simplify, you just want to break it down, we can give more detail in a second.
But actually, just to break it down, score 21.2, that's where the
that's
Chiefs
the exact average.
Defense.
Well,
yeah.
You score more than 23. The lowest the Chiefs have been held in scoring all year has been 23 points. And Denver's only scored more than 23 points once all year. So that's just like the general summary. I also think we're happy if the Chiefs go and attack their rookie corner and Michael Ojemudia. Like, I think that's Ojemudia. That's going to be the area where I believe that they can have success. That's where I believe we all of a sudden see a big game from Mecole Hardman. That's what I'm expecting to see on Sunday afternoon is the Chiefs don't necessarily have to put up 35 points to beat the Denver Broncos. We saw what the Broncos offense was capable of last week against New England, which was six field goals. They weren't able to punch it in. They moved the ball. But if Kansas City scores more than 23, and I believe they will attack that rookie corner, Mecole Hardman, despite the weather and all that, about 3 to 5 inches. Usually you're on top of the weather update, not me. I believe that's where it's at. That's an area where Kansas City can attack and have success.
Don't mock me.
Got the weather bank updates.
No, here's the thing. I think Vic Fangio, and here's where being the defensive mind, I think, actually plays in. Because you'll take a look and examine what the Chiefs defense does well, what they don't. Clearly, he's in tune to what the Chiefs defense is. He's the one that brought up Chris Jones and the swatted passes in the Super Bowl. He knows that, and Tyrann Mathieu, that I think they try to go deep. And I think they try the Raiders philosophy of going deep in setting Drew Locke. And one thing, their offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, one thing he's done is, and he really showed it in the last game. Now, those passes didn't come to fruition, but he let Drew uncork it. Like right away, coming back from the injury, let Drew just uncork it down the field. And I think the Broncos will test the Chiefs secondary. This will be crucial for the Chiefs to get some pass rush on Drew Lock. Don't let him have comfortability in the pocket like Derek Carr did, because he is a guy that can throw the football down the field. So my opinion is, I feel the secondary will be tested like the Raiders game, because I think they're going to – they have nothing to lose, and they're going to be airing the ball out down the field. And certainly they got guys like Jerry Jeudy, one of the best route – well, the best route runner in the draft last year from Alabama, is a tremendous receiver. But I think there'll be pressure on the secondary to make stops, because I think Vic Fangio takes a look at that and the secondary, and he will challenge them deep early and often.
I'm sure they're going to try to replicate what the Raiders did. We've kind of heard that already this week, not necessarily from a game plan, but just the mentality that a Bradley Chubb would have. We played you that audio yesterday.
The Bills didn't do it. The Bills didn't take any of what worked for the Raiders. They didn't take any of that.
The Bills didn't, but it's clear from just the, I guess, the psyche as well for the Denver Broncos. They're taking the same psyche that the Raiders had. The Raiders had lost... What was it, 12 in a row or so, or had been 12 matchups overall. Now it's 9 straight for the Broncos, and the Chiefs have won there 5 straight in Mile High.
Before that, it was 7 straight for the Broncos. That's how this
right.
series is
going. Yeah, go back to
7 straight to 9 straight. It's been unbelievably one-sided lately.
So I think it's the same psyche that the Broncos are going with, which is that, hey, we've got to start beating these guys. We can't keep losing. It's our time to do it. And they're kind of approaching it as almost this Super Bowl. From a game plan end, yeah, they probably are going to try to take some shots deep going forward. I would hope and I believe the Chiefs have learned from that a little bit and won't be caught off guard. They got tested for the first time really by Derek Carr deep. I think they'll be ready for that. Drew Lock certainly is not afraid to throw the ball deep. That's something he probably prefers to do, as a matter of fact. And so he does have some more weapons going forward. So that's how you think it's going to be on. So you're saying if it's a kind of a crummy Monday, if somehow the Broncos have any chance to win, you think it's going to be them attacking deep?
I think so. I think that's what they're going to do. They know they need to put up points. I mean, that's the thing they've talked about. And that's the thing that when they're players, when you listen to their press conference, it's about going deep. By the way, it is 23 for high now. It has shifted colder by 2 degrees.
Oh, the temperature there?
80% chance of snow now. Not 50.
Yeah, it's snow.
It was 50 earlier, then it was 60. Now it's 80. Yeah. Winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. So there's your report.
Yeah, we know how Mahomes performs in the snow. It wasn't in Denver, but it was in Kansas City against the Denver Broncos, and that was one of the better, obviously, games for Mahomes as far as his early portion of his career at the time. It was a fantastic performance against the Broncos. Serta, where are you at on this? We'll ask you guys as well on the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line, 913-576-7610. Each and every Friday we go through and how we'll be feeling happy on Monday or feeling pretty crummy on a Monday. Where are you at if we're feeling good?
I think the Chiefs will win by 2+ touchdowns. I mean, I know the Broncos have played a little bit better than you probably think they are as a football team. They've been in a lot of close games. They've been dealing with a ton of injuries. But the Chiefs are just the far superior football team. Like, this should be an easy football game. They should easily win.
Well, he's 100% right. I mean, they're clearly a better football team.
We said
There's a lot better coaching staff. Listen, when it comes to the coaching staff, from top to bottom, the Chiefs are just better than the Denver Broncos.
No, they are. I mean, it's kind of the same thing we were saying about the Raiders game. The difference for me this go-around is, and why I didn't buy into
the narrative was.
Raiders
had some weapons, though, with Henry Ruggs, probably the second fastest guy in the NFL, to the Cheetah.
No, but I'm saying even with that, you're right. They had the better weapons, and we were talking about the Raiders going in like, the Chiefs are clearly the better team. There's no chance that the Raiders are going to win this game. We're saying the same thing here in Denver, and I agree with it, by the way. What I'm saying, the difference, though, this go-around is the Chiefs, to me, already had that game where maybe the Raiders did find a way to sneak up on you, and you had Chris Jones after the game saying there were some formations that they didn't know were coming, and they will be even more prepared because of what happened to them against the Raiders. I don't think there's any chance that the Broncos are able to replicate what the Raiders did. One, yes, they get some guys healthy. I don't think they have the personnel, to your point, to do it, Bink, but also just on the mental end of the game, I don't believe that that's something that you can replicate if you're the Broncos, because the Chiefs already had a divisional opponent who they had dominated come up and get them for the first time in quite some time. The Broncos are trying to do the same thing and win for the first time since 2015. I don't think you can, in the span of 3 weeks, have the Broncos and Raiders both snap streaks like that.
And not only that, but that clearly was the wake-up call. You and I talked about the Mike Evans, the 104.3, the Fan, about this is the time to get the Chiefs. I look at it as complete opposite. The Raiders were the wake-up call. Remember when Serta played the Inside the Huddle yesterday and it just shocked you? It shocked me.
Still, my ears are still ringing.
That was the Raiders. The Raiders, what they did with the Chiefs. The fact the Chiefs were up at 21-10, I thought a boat race was in store for that game, and the way they came back. They're going to utilize Bradley Chubb to put pressure. He's actually had a good couple of games, 3.5 sacks the last two games. He'll be playing that Cleveland Farrell role, trying to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, get him outside the pocket. That's going to be their strategy on that. And on offense, I think they're going to take their shots deep. Snow or not, it's not going to matter with these quarterbacks because both of them are used to playing in the cold.
On the other hand, if it's a crummy Monday, for me, it's two things. It's A, as good as the offensive line look for Kansas City, if they were to take a step back, yes, but I think it still will throughout the year be the same answer, and that is, can they get consistent pressure on the quarterback? And talking about the Chiefs in that realm. If they can get consistent pressure on the quarterback, and that was one of the issues certainly against the Las Vegas Raiders. If they can get consistent pressure, doesn't have to be sacks like we saw this past week. They did sack Josh Allen once, but they got consistent pressure. Chris Jones caused havoc. If they're able to do that and replicate some of that against Drew Lock, I don't think we'll be worrying about anything come Monday.
And their defense has been halfway decent this year. They're one spot ahead of the Chiefs. They have 13. They're 13th in the NFL in sacks. Their third down percentage, they're very good. This is where the Chiefs excel offensively, is on third down. The Broncos giving up just 38% on third down. It's actually one of their better downs when it comes to it. The biggest problem with the Broncos this year has been scoring in the red zone. They just keep stalling
like
in the red zone.
Six field goals last week.
Six field goals last week. That can't be the case against the Chiefs, and they know that. They can't sit there and rely on 3 points all the time against the Chiefs. And who knows with the weather. It might not be a great game to kick in anyway. But this isn't the game on fourth and one to trot out the field goal unit.
Right.
It's about going for it here. They've been that bad on third down. They realize that. And really, if they were just better inside the red zone and on third downs, they might have clearly a better record than they do now.
Yeah, and I'm right there with Gold on the offensive line. If you know, we felt like, you know, with the new lineup, they took huge strides last week against the Bills. If for some reason they look like they're taking a step back, then all of a sudden, oh, we were feeling good about the offensive line after they had struggled. And if they take a step back in this game, okay, it's still a problem. Oh, and Mitchell Schwartz hasn't practiced all week. He might not be available in this game. He's obviously been dealing with some kind of injury all year, it would look like, because he hasn't been playing like the elite right tackle that we know that he is.
Those back problems, sir, they just don't go
well,
away.
And the Broncos defense has been a lot better than we realize, even with all the injuries that they have. And so, you know, we saw Patrick Mahomes torch them in the snow last year. And so you want to see that again this year, right? If the passing game looks slow and the offense in general looks slow and the offensive line looks bad, you're not going to feel good about this game even if they come out with a win.
You want to continue to be listening, of course, here in this first segment or so. Each and every Friday, it's your chance to win that large specialty pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. Continue to keep an eye on what we're saying. Usually we'll ask you a question or so come up around 10:30. And also at 10:30, Andy Locke, Drew Locke's dad, of course, starting quarterback over in Denver. He's going to join us. We'll ask him, of course, grew up in Kansas City, went to Mizzou. And then Andy Locke himself also had a relationship there in Mizzou with Andy Reid in their time back in, what, the 80s, I guess it would have been.
Andy Reid was his coach.
Yeah, so we'll check in with Andy Locke on that. As we continue here on a Red Friday. Meanwhile, we were talking about the Raiders a little bit, the one loss, of course, on the year for Kansas City. What's the latest with them? They're scheduled to play the Buccaneers on Sunday. They were supposed to be Sunday night football. Now it's been moved over to Sunday afternoon. Ian Rappaport with the latest with what's going on and some COVID violations.
Well, the NFL and the NFLPA, Kay, are investigating the situation surrounding the Raiders, COVID-19, their protocols, and how strictly they adhere to them. You mentioned the Raiders put some players on the COVID-19 reserve list. They put a lot of players on the COVID-19 reserve list. It's not just Trent Brown and David Arnett who tested positive. It's every offensive lineman, all of the starting offensive line who, as Tom Pelissero mentioned, were spotted on camera in the internal videos from the Raiders hanging out without masks on. They also apparently are looking into, the NFL and the NFLPA are, whether or not Trent Brown was wearing his tracking device. Either way, all of these guys who are considered to be high-risk close contacts with Trent Brown were put on the COVID-19 reserve list. It doesn't mean that they can't play on Sunday. It just means they have to clear some protocols and get off the reserve list to do that. One interesting note here, Jonathan Abram, the star safety, also on the COVID-19 reserve list, he's listed as a Tuesday interaction with Trent Brown. That makes a very tough timetable, very tough turnaround for him to be able to actually play on Sunday. We'll be keeping our eye on that. Meanwhile, the schedule did change.
Yeah, we mentioned the schedule already there, but you hear that at the end. First of all, Jonathan Abram, and now it's been even updated since what you just heard from Rapoport. Sounds like he's not going to be able to play because the timeline's just not going to work.
They should have put him on that earlier for the 5 days because the linemen probably can come back. Maybe some of them can't. Maybe they can't. They got a real problem because the Buccaneers, the number one defense in the NFL yards allowed. That's a big problem. That, and not having Jonathan Abram against
four of your offensive linemen.
That's huge for the Raiders. Not that Raiders fans were actually upset about this. I mean, they were going on and on. I mean, here's the deal, man. We all like Sunday Night Football. I mean, as fans, I do. I love Sunday Night Football.
Of course, yeah. It's the better of all the primetime broadcasts.
It is. But not getting that game, and then you're going to be played in 3 o'clock window. It's just much different. You know what's costing NBC money because obviously it was Tom Brady and it was the Raiders in their new stadium. And that's going to cost them money. But the linemen might play, might not. But they got big issues if they're not going to play. And you got the number one defense in the NFL in yards allowed playing against you. And, oh, by the way, Jonathan Abram may not play because he was later on that protocol list. I think a lot of it's a tracking device, like who was around him and who wasn't. And here's the thing. You got to snitch on yourself in these issues. One of the things, Abram says that, all right, I had close contact. He should have got his 5 days out of the way. So just to make sure he could play on Sunday. It's very irresponsible.
You know why this is so challenging? You know why it's been delayed? It's because Trent Brown wouldn't wear his damn tracking device. Like that's what all the reports say. If he's wearing the tracking device on a regular basis like everybody else is and being responsible and also, you know, making sure his teammates he's not letting down. Because that's ultimately, we can talk about the Raiders. Congratulations.
He took down the whole line.
You had a big win against Kansas City a couple weeks ago and everybody started to talk you up a little bit about the Raiders and how impressive the winner is and all of this. And how are we supposed to take you seriously when you can't follow the protocols whatsoever? You're jeopardizing your own team season, not to mention everybody else's, because it can shift around the schedule a little bit. And so much like we talked about the Tennessee Titans a couple weeks ago, and now they were holding the workouts outside of facility, and it looks like the NFL is only going to hand out a fine there. This in some way is actually worse because this is easy. You're still, nobody's asking you to not be at your facility. The NFL's allowing you to be at your facility. They're just saying, you know what? Can you please wear a device? Can you wear a little tracking device? It's not something that's that restrictive. It's not like it's huge. It's a small little device that they have to wear. It's not a big deal. Everybody else in the NFL is wearing it, at least we hope, right? And Trent Brown, if for whatever reason, didn't think the need to do it, and now he's jeopardizing his team's chances to win a football game on Sunday. So, yeah, I hope the NFL, much like what we talked about with the Titans, I hope they come down hard on the Raiders, because it's not just their own team, but it impacts scheduling for the rest of the league, and now Arizona and Seattle are playing on Sunday Night Football. I still think there's a chance, though, Bink, that this game, now at 3:05 on Sunday, gets bumped to Monday, and all of a sudden we're talking about another week where, which is fine with me, another week where we've got Monday football at like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, because the Raiders could just come out and say, hey, man, we don't have the 8 linemen that we need.
Well, see, that I don't care about. That part, tough. That's their own doing.
But that's the protocol of the NFL. You have to have them available.
Yeah, but the reason why all the other games have been pushed back is because there's guys that have tested for positive for COVID, and they're trying to clear the room of it, if you will. This would be your own doing. You just have some guys that have to be on a watch list, essentially, and on a reserve list because they couldn't follow the rules and the protocols that exist. That one, tough. The Raiders have to eat that. I don't care if three of their linemen can't play Sunday or Monday or whenever they're going to be scheduled to play. That's their problem. That doesn't mean they're testing positive for COVID, but that's their problem. They couldn't follow all the protocols. Make them call a lineman up from the practice squad. Tough. That's what happens when you don't follow it.
That's why you have expanded practice squads. The way I'm reading this Rapoport tweet is this. Raiders O linemen on the COVID list because they are high-risk close contacts but have a chance to play Sunday. The Jonathan Abram does not. He's listed as having contact with Trent Brown on Tuesday and wouldn't be cleared in time. This means the NFL went back and looked at film. Or whatever. And then they talked to the players. Jonathan Abram, you were hanging around with Trent Brown. Like this, if you're Jonathan Abram, don't you report this earlier just to make sure you have the 5 days in the bag to be able to play? Instead of this coming up late, middle of the week, I mean, there could be others. Because the NFL's reviewing video. And they have every tape on practice from all these teams. And they go back and look who was close to this person, who was not. I mean, this could be the tip of the iceberg for the Raiders. And if more are on this list, you could definitely see this game being moved.
I feel like whenever we talk about Jonathan Abram these days, it's either the guy can't stay healthy or he's involved in something weird going on.
I mean, this was just happenstance, but he's around Brown, and I don't know. They probably.
But I feel like we hear his name mentioned more because either he's hurt or now this. Like I'm not saying he's not a good football player, but he's constantly. Whenever we talk about him on this show,
well,
he's usually
more known for hitting this year. He's actually
hurt all year. He's been hurt all year though. Remember the one wasn't his fault. He ran into the camera, which was not his fault. But still, like I feel like that's whenever we bring him up. So something to monitor right now. Raiders. And their game against the Bucs Sunday afternoon is scheduled after they moved it from Sunday Night Football. But I still think you keep an eye on that, see if there's a chance that they bump that thing over to Monday Night Football. Were you watching Thursday Night Football, though, with the Giants and the Eagles, that thriller, which actually turned out to be, I'll say this, an entertaining football game, and that's necessarily good football. Is that a fair way to put it? Because I was entertained, certainly in the fourth quarter. We were monitoring that a little bit because we had some of our coworkers that picked the Philadelphia Eagles for our Survivor League. Ryan
and Rob are extremely lucky, just like you've been.
That's what happens.
They played the Alex Gould theory of this, but I was entertained by Daniel Jones.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
They're laughing.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
Even the Giants broadcasters.
Well, yeah, you have to laugh. Now, I will admit, the first thing I thought of was our combine here at 610. You know what happened?
You fell.
During the 40-yard dash. So I can't make fun of him too much, although I can at the same time because I'm not an NFL athlete, clearly. How does that happen? How does that happen?
He was gone.
That was an awesome run.
By the way, was going 21 miles an hour. Apparently, was the fastest speed reached by a quarterback as a ball carrier since 2018 and the longest run by a quarterback who didn't score on a play since at least 1975.
And then it dropped the 7 miles. It just prototypical what the Giants are this year. Then they ended up scoring a touchdown that drive, so it didn't cost them. Now, had that cost them? Because it was a 1 point loss.
Yeah, they ended up. Wayne Gallman got a 1 yard run right after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost the football game, but it wasn't because of Daniel Jones falling. But that was unbelievable. Everybody did have the same reaction. How can you not laugh? And then there's also the
fumbled New York. It was Mark Sanchez.
It was very similar in that realm, just in terms of how hilarious it was. And then you had the call of it over on Fox Deportes.
Va por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir, se puede ir.
It doesn't matter what language you're calling the game in. Everybody had the exact same reaction. You just have to laugh at it overall. And I know Daniel Jones after the game was laughing about it a little bit. I mean, you have to. That's all you can. His teammates are going to give him so much crap in the film room. I know they lost the game, so they got plenty of other issues to deal with. They should have won that football game against Philadelphia. But that provided some entertainment. And, yeah, the sniper got him, man.
I've seen this several times, actually. I saw it with K-State a couple weeks ago against TCU, and Will Howard could have iced the game. They ended up winning the game, but he was going off to the left. It was a perfect play call and just fell down.
Yeah, but
But that's got to be frustrating as a coach when you call the right play.
On a fourth down, yeah. But at least that was on a short yard. Like, he wasn't going yet. Howard, when he tripped, he never really got going. Daniel Jones is wide. I mean, he's gone.
Did you think of Bono at all when Bono took off against Arizona and did that?
I did not.
Shades of Bono.
That's what it reminded you of right away?
Yeah.
I saw people on Twitter. It was a little bit of that. So people had tweeted about Bono on a local level. And then there was a lot of people also all of a sudden circulating the Chris Jones combine video again. Oh. So his was even more adventurous than my combine video where I fell. He, of course, tripped up and had the little wardrobe malfunction with
him. The Chris Jones thing was so good because we had talked about that and laughed about that. And then when the Chiefs drafted, it was like, oh, yeah, that's the guy.
That's the guy that occurred. Yeah. Now look at him.
One
of the best interior linemen.
It was a precursor.
In all of football. So that was entertaining. And now suddenly the Eagles and Cowboys are atop the NFC East. And I don't know, Carson Wentz had his best game of the season like that. So we'll see. But Doug Peterson, who, you know, people were starting to question even more about, what his long-term future is there. Of course, he's won a Super Bowl. But for whatever reason, he used to be
That's a short leash nowadays, isn't it?
It is. But he also used to be the guy when it was two-point conversions or near the goal line, you knew he was going to come up with something creative. Those two-point plays last night were horrific. That used to be one of the more creative. I don't know what's changed.
Nick Foles.
Not Philly special yet.
Even though Carson Wentz had a great game last night.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of weird. And that's kind of quickly shifted, but that was entertaining last night.
But it makes
with
you
the
appreciate
Eagles
the Chiefs
and Giants
when you see games like that.
Oh,
it makes you appreciate so much more.
Chiefs fans, we've seen plenty of those over the years. It's just now we're living in a different era. Don't have to worry about that. I mean, look at that. That division's an absolute disaster. All right, coming up next, your chance to win a large specialty pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. Each and every Friday here on the show at 10:30 and 12:30, you have a chance to win that. And also, coming up next, Andy Locke, father of Broncos starting quarterback Drew Locke, joins us here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2. 610 Sports Radio.
All right, just getting started here on a Red Friday. We were talking a little bit about Daniel Jones. All you have to do if you want a chance to win a large specialty pizza from The Other Place is be the third caller to 913-576-7610 and tell Serta, how long was that unforgettable run last night from one Daniel Jones before the turf monster or the sniper got him on the way? It would have been a touchdown. 913-576-7610. Reminder, each and every Friday at 10:30 and 12:30, your chance to win that large pizza from our friends over at The Other Place. We're also a half hour away from welcoming in our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. I know Bink's very fired up to talk to Pete today. Can't wait for Pete to join us. You were being very critical of him yesterday on the show.
I've talked to Pete a lot this week.
Okay, so Pete's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Le'Veon Bell and what kind of role Bell could have this Sunday in Denver. And this Sunday in Denver, of course, the Chiefs will be taking on Drew Locke and company.
You know what? Been watching Drew Locke a long time. Dominating at Lee Summit, Simone Trophy Award winner. I've known his dad for a long time, too. Of course, going out to those high school games, one of the finest restaurant tours in Kansas City. The father of Drew Locke, Andy Locke. What's up, Andy?
Make your eyes too kind, brother. How you doing, man?
You keep making those burgers that animal style, and I'm going to be as kind as I want. it's been a delicious burger for me. All right. Daniel Jones had this 80-yard run last night. Like, if that was Drew Locke in that situation, as a father, what would you have done?
Man, Bing, I felt bad for Daniel because he's a hell of an athlete, and those kind of things happen on that stage occasionally. So that was, you kind of do put yourself in the man. If you're his dad or if you're his dad, how would I feel? That'd be a tough spot because it's on Thursday Night Football, national stage. Nobody within, 15, 20 yards of you, you're gone. You're crossing the goal line. And he didn't quite get there. That happens, but that would have been kind of a tough spot. But it kind of is what it is, man. They scored and did okay. But that's one of those things that he probably won't live that down for a bit.
No question. I'm sure his teammates will have a lot of fun with that for quite some time. Now, what is this week like for you and the Locke family? It's Chiefs-Broncos week. What's this week like? I know you've had a couple of these now since Drew's been in the league.
Well, one thing I really was going to hope that it'd be a little bit different this week versus last year was the weather would be a little better, but it's certainly not going to be that way. It looks like, I just looked at my weather app, it looks like 5 inches of snow is what they're calling for right now. So I don't know if that's, really what's going to happen. So, every time the Broncos play the Chiefs, and this is obviously just the second year, but it is special. It's a different kind of special, and I think every year it'll be just kind of have a little extra meaning through that 16-game schedule when they do play the Chiefs.
You know, it's one of those things. I heard Drew the other day. I watched his press conference up in Denver. He was talking about, coming back to Kansas City and the people that have fun with you guys. And he mentioned his cousins and things like that. Heck, I'll be honest with you, Andy. I even get this on the text line because I talk such good things about Drew. They're like, oh, you're a Drew Locke and you're a Broncos fan. I was like, no, there's a difference between liking Drew Locke and there's a difference between the Denver Broncos. But how much teasing do you get with your family? What was Drew talking about there?
Man, Vic, it's crazy, man, because it's Orange Friday, brother. No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-oh.
I'm kidding, man.
He's Darth Vader, too.
Here's the deal, man. If your kid or anybody's child was a quarterback of another NFL team, you grew up for that team, too. So that's kind of how I explain it to everybody.
Yes.
But I'll tell you something. This is the most loyal football town, and obviously it's ramped up a little bit because of the championship last year, which was awesome. But this is the most loyal football town I've ever seen, and people are so passionate about it. And I think it's so cool because it creates added energy in the city. It creates energy in my businesses. It creates energy and conversation in a lot of ways. So I actually really respect it and think it's a neat deal. But it's I get it a lot. I get it daily, but it kind of adds to my day, man, for sure.
We're talking with Andy Locke, the father of Broncos starting quarterback Drew Locke. Of course, the Chiefs and Broncos Sunday afternoon. You can hear the game over on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. And we know Andy Reid and you spent some time there in Missouri, I should say, in the 80s. What's kind of the relationship still like? And I know Andy had some nice things to say this week about your son as well.
You know, he's a great man. I have the utmost respect for Coach Reid. I always have. You know, it started early when I played for him. He was my offensive line coach. And, you know, kind of the talent of Coach Reid was evident early, just how good he was, just not only from a people standpoint, but from a coaching standpoint as well, the X and O side of it. So, you know, we talk occasionally. We had a really neat get-together at one of my restaurants. It's been a couple years now. I brought a bunch of Mizzou guys back, and that was really special. He and Coach Tobe and a bunch of our old players. But he's, you know, he's a kind man. He's a hell of a football man, and that's very, very evident now how he's evolved over the years. He's one creative guy, and I'll tell you what, he's done a fantastic job, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
You know what, Andy? I saw Coach Reid on Food Network, the Diners, Drives, and Dives with Guy Fieri. And he was as intent in that as he is in coaching. Maybe he's looking at the spices. He loves making cheeseburgers. You're a guy that can make the Andy Reid burger happen. Would that be a little weird having an Andy Reid burger and maybe a Drew Locke burger? I mean, he could help you design a great burger. I mean, you're the restaurant guy.
You know, Bake, I might do that. Let me tell you, right now in the restaurant world, if it would help our sales and it'd bring more people through the door, I'd probably have an Andy Reid burger on my menu. But it's a tough world out there right now. But he's a big cheeseburger fan, man. That's the first food that comes out of his mouth every time you hear him talk. So, but I might consider that if he would propose a great Andy Reid cheeseburger. We might be able to figure that one out.
Yeah, that would be fun. And I know you guys go out to Denver from time to time and watch. I think it's going to be, 67 degrees tomorrow, then 25 on Sunday, as you mentioned. Snow. It's awesome. Kind of like Kansas City. It was like 80 degrees yesterday, and it's not that today for sure. But have you thought about putting a restaurant in Denver just since you have ties out there now?
Yeah, you know, we have actually talked about it a little bit. Man, we got to make sure that we do a good job here in Kansas City before we start going outside of Kansas City, though. So that may be something that's a little more of a wish than it is a reality. So we might skip that one for now, but we'll see how the next few years go. You know, we've talked about it, but probably not anytime soon would be my guess.
We've talked to a lot of people about, you know, COVID and the impact it's had on a lot of players on their off season. And I remember seeing the video and some photos that Drew much of the off season, he actually spent right at your house, kind of game plan, looking at game plans and looking at film. What was that like just to see in his development this off season? And it's not the ideal scenario by any means for anybody, but entering his second year as a starting quarterback and then not being able to be in Denver and training with everybody.
Well, it was really, obviously we haven't, you know, been around Drew for that length of time, you know, since before he went to college. So he was under our roof for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it was. And it was really neat because it was kind of a new transition time to his, you know, fifth or sixth offensive coordinator, whatever in the world it's been. But, you know, that was Coach Shermer's, you know, first time to come on board. So he and Drew spent a lot of time on the phone, on Zoom calls. I kind of peeked around the corner and watched some of the install a little bit and some of the stuff that was going on. And it was really, really interesting to me, just the level of detail they have. And, you know, all NFL teams are that way, but the NFL is so much more detailed than maybe a college system can be. It's so much different, but it was really nice to be around him for that period of time and see how hard he worked at it and see how serious he took it. And enjoyed that. And it's carried on to Denver, and he's enjoying Coach Sherman. They're doing a nice job together.
Yeah, we're talking to Andy Locke, the father of Drew Locke, and that's been a nice connection because Drew has had different offensive coordinators. I mean, you go back to Mizzou the last 2 years, and already a second offensive coordinator in Denver, but Shermer really trusts him. All right, Andy, what is the game plan this week? What is Denver – I mean, are they going to come out and throw deep? What do they do? What's Drew told you how they're going to attack the Chiefs?
Yeah, they're going to throw deep the whole game, man.
I thought they would. That's my guess.
That's all they're going to do the whole game. In fact, I don't think they'll throw a pass under 20 yards the whole game. So I'd put about five safeties in the game. And you know what, Vic? I haven't talked to Drew.
I didn't figure you'd tell me anyway.
About the game plan. And you know what? A lot of times he won't even tell me. I'm just joking. But we haven't talked about it. I'm not sure. But last week was really interesting, you know, how they opened up the offense and and you know, threw it deep a ton. I think the average air yards last week, he was the top quarterback in the NFL as far as attempts per air yard. So I think they made a conscious decision last week to stretch the field a little bit. So I'm not sure what they're going to do this week.
He's got to be happy, too, having Albert O there, you know, having his former Missouri teammate up in Denver.
Yeah, I think when, you know, draft night, he was really, really excited that they drafted Albert, just because, you know, a year ago or so, or a couple years ago, Albert was a, you know, projected to be a first rounder. It didn't end up being that way, but he's certainly a first round talent. I think that, you know, obviously Drew knows Albert probably better than a lot of people do. So he was really excited what he could bring to Denver. And that was obvious last week. He was, you know, looking for him in the end zone a bit, and they couldn't connect, but I think that connection will start to, you know, rear its head a little bit, I think, over the next few weeks of guests.
Alex wants to do a little something, a little wager on this game, Andy. And it would go something like this. If the Broncos win, Alex and I would show up at Third Street Social, and we'd wear Broncos gear.
Okay.
Now, I don't know where we can get it. I mean, I would buy one, but I don't know if they make it. I have rules about jerseys, and if you're my size, you don't wear a quarterback's number, so I don't know if I'd be wearing. Now, Alex could wear the Drew. I'd probably wear the Broncos hat or something. And if not, I get an animal-style burger. We get an animal-style burger here.
Fair.
Is that fair?
That's a done deal, man. Hey, Big, I got some 3XL Denver stuff, man. We can work out. We can work out something for you to throw on if you need some photo ops. So just let me know.
Yeah, but I have rules. Yeah. In my size, you don't wear quarterbacks' numbers nor wide receivers. Nothing worse than seeing a guy three spins wearing a Mahomes or a Tyreek Hill. No, you need to wear Chris Jones, man.
No, I hear you. No, I don't have any jerseys, man. No, it's just a nice quarter zip or something. I can figure that out. But no, I'm in, man. Let's do it.
All right.
I'm all about it.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll join that. And I assume you'll be out in Denver then on Sunday.
Yeah, we're flying out on Saturday. And, you know, due to the kind of the COVID stuff, we're actually last year we stayed with Drew when we went out, but we're staying in hotels each time we go out now and kind of staying away from them. It's a different world now. So, but yeah, we're flying out Saturday and be back on Monday.
Shoot me a text on what the game plan is going to be if Drew tells you. I'm just good for my own purposes, you know.
In fact, I'll give him a buzz, Bank, and see if he's got a second. Find out.
All right, Andy, you take care. It's been fun watching Drew in high school and, of course, at Missouri. And wish him and you and your family the best of luck. We'll talk to you later.
Love coming on, Jay. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Andy.
You got it. That's Andy Locke, the father of Broncos starting quarterback Drew Locke. Obviously, a local kid. And
Going in on with you in a bet scary to me.
Yeah, well, you say that, but you and I are in the same spot here in Survivor for the most part. And we've got Heist, Benny Heist from SI Gambling.
We're not in the same spot. Yeah,
essentially, we are. No, we're still alive, are we not? We're still alive. You might not have a strike until this weekend, but we're the same spot.
Only thing we have in common is we're both on the
Bank
radio.
Bank just wants
right now.
This animal style burger. You keep bringing it up.
It's delicious.
That's really what the reason was behind the entire
conversation.
You just
want to rock
there.
The Drew Locke jersey in Lee 7.
The closest thing I have to Broncos gear. People think I'm wearing Denver Broncos gear. I'm not. From my time over in Boise State. And
the Boise State Broncos.
It looks like Broncos gear here in Kansas City. So you got to be careful where I wear the Boise State gear. Got to be very, very, very careful. So appreciate Andy for giving us a little bit of time there. Reminder, coming up in 15 minutes or so, Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, going to join us. He's got maybe a bet or two, or at least a gripe or two, I should say, with one Jay Binkley to bring up coming up at 11 o'clock or so. But there's some great matchups in the NFL this weekend. But other than Kansas City and Denver, the one that I think we should all be focused in on here and will be focused in on is in that noon hour, the Titans and Steelers, two undefeated teams. Steelers had the very impressive win against the Cleveland team. We know Tennessee won in overtime against Houston over the weekend. Ryan Tannehill's playing like a top five quarterback in football. Meanwhile, Big Ben looks like he's at least doing enough. And that defense is what we thought they would be. Minka Fitzpatrick and company look terrific over in Pittsburgh. If you're a Chiefs fan, to me, there's one team in this matchup you got to be rooting for. If you have to pick, unless you're going to go with a tie bank or something. I think the team is.
Oh, I see this as kissing your sister, your cousin.
I don't like it. But if you're trying to look big picture, one seed, there's one bye this year. I think there is a preference you should have as a Chiefs fan. The preference should be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and here's why. One, I'm a lot higher on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've told you that. But here's why: it's the division that they're each in. So Tennessee is in the AFC South. We know that. The Colts are the next closest team. They've been very iffy this year. The Texans are crap. The Jags are back to tanking game, it sure looks like. After winning week one, they woke up and realized it's probably not a good decision. So
they're going to win this weekend. They shock you.
I hope Jacksonville beats your Chargers. That's what I hope happens this weekend. But look, that division is a lot easier. I don't see as many losses coming from Tennessee. They might be on their way to winning 13 or 14 games because of that division. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, still has to play Baltimore twice. They just blew out Cleveland, so it may sound weird, but that'll still be in Cleveland a little bit tougher matchup the next go around. And Cincy at least is going to scare you. They've got a tougher stretch, I view, for Pittsburgh than Tennessee the rest of the way. And so for that reason, if you're picking a team, we're talking about seeding, and Kansas City's at 5-1 trying to get to 6-1 on Sunday, and it's all about getting the only bye in football, in the AFC, I should say, this year, and how important that's going to be. You don't play the Steelers head-to-head. You don't play the Titans head-to-head. I think Pittsburgh's more likely to pick up or loss or two down the road, Bink. So I would like to see Pittsburgh in this matchup actually beat Tennessee, knock them down a little bit, because I think Pittsburgh will have the losses coming the rest of the way.
Tennessee's got some potential. Keep in mind, they've played some close games. I mean, they haven't blown a lot of teams out. Yes, they blew the Buffalo Bills out, but they've been involved in close games. They still have Chicago. I get it. It is the Bears, but they are 5-1. Got the Colts. They got to go to Baltimore and play. I don't like the Titans going to Baltimore in that game. They still have to play at Green Bay, and they play a Houston game to finish the season. And, you know, Houston's playing with a little bit of pride now. You know, Romeo's there. You know, they eliminate bad football.
You'd rather have Tennessee beat Pittsburgh? You think that's a better scenario if you had a pick? I know
neither
you don't,
one.
I understand that.
I mean, I can't say one way or the other because I don't want it to come back. I don't want karma to come back.
Well.
Oh, I was rooting for the Steelers there, the Titans, and they come back and win. Both these teams have potential L's. The funny thing is,
who's the bigger threat?
Pittsburgh's played a bad schedule. They have not played a good schedule.
Pittsburgh's schedule, they beat the Giants, they beat the Broncos, they beat the Texans, and they beat the Eagles and Browns.
With Bill O'Brien.
The Texans game you're referencing. Yeah. Look, who's the bigger threat to you then? Because that's what I'm also basing this off of a little bit. I think when it's done, and this is why I view it like, if you're looking at the bigger threat long term, it's very close, despite how Ryan Tannehill has played, and you got to give him his due. He's been fantastic. He's been a top five quarterback in football for the last 15 games.
Credit
or so.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, we agree to some extent on that. I think that's downplaying a little bit what Ryan Tannehill did. I still think Pittsburgh is the bigger threat, though, because of what we saw in the postseason from Ryan Tannehill.
And Claypool and Schuster,
I'm just basing it off of that the division that Pittsburgh is in is far tougher than the division that we would agree on than the AFC South. And so that's why my reason is, hey, I would say Pittsburgh if I had to choose this weekend. But the bigger threat is also Pittsburgh to me in terms of if you have to, who would you rather not face in the AFC title game? Let's say the game was in Kansas City either way, who would you rather not face, Tennessee or Pittsburgh? To me, the answer, I'd rather not face Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but history-wise, I know the Chiefs beat Pittsburgh a couple years ago. That year, Mahomes won the MVP. They were up 21-0, but the Steelers came storming right back. So it was kind of like getting that kryptonite of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tennessee, yeah, they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Chiefs flipped the script in the postseason when it really mattered. And the Chiefs kind of inspired Tennessee to go on that run after they beat the Chiefs. Remember that was Tannehill's game? He had not been the starter there, and Derrick Henry had not been having a good year and had a great year from then on. But historically, it's been Pittsburgh in the postseason that's been the bad luck draw.
Rich Gannon was on The Drive earlier this week, and they asked him what's more of a threat, Pittsburgh or Tennessee?
Wow, I like them both. I just did the Titans last week, and I got a chance to see that team up close, and they're really good. Their defense, not as good as the offense right now. I'd say the Pittsburgh Steelers have the better defense, so if you put, put me on the spot, I would say Pittsburgh. But, you know, Tennessee, I mean, offensively, they've got that back is rare and unique. He is 6'3", he's 250 pounds, and he can go the distance. We saw, you know, Derrick Henry go 94 yards on a run against the Houston Texans. So Tannehill's played as well as any quarterback. In fact, we put a graphic up side by side, Mahomes last last 11 or 12 games and Tannehill's last 11 or 12 games, he's right there in terms of touchdowns, completion percentage, efficiency, wins. I mean, he's right there. He's played really, really well. Now, Ben Roethlisberger, is rejuvenated, fresh off of that surgery I did their game a couple weeks ago. They're playing really well. You can't take your eyes off of Chase Claypool. He has gotten a lot of people's attention. The second-round pick out of Notre Dame. Big kid, 6'4", 238. He can go. Their defense leads the league in sacks. It's right up there. They create some havoc with Bud Dupree on the one side and obviously T.J. Watt on the other side. I think Pittsburgh, in my opinion right now, is the better team, but not by a lot.
Yeah, it's a very close match. I think the Steelers are like 1-point underdogs. It was the line moved very interestingly a day or two ago. The Tennessee Titans were like 2-point dogs, and now they're a 1-point favorite.
They both have physical specimens at different positions. I mean, Derrick Henry, that is a different style, size running back than you ever see. And Chase Claypool is more of a physical Serta's specimen.
Serta's all over that wide for receiver. Fantasy.
He's so good.
He had Megatron numbers at the combine. Not since Megatron, the guy that size has put up those numbers. It was so much so they wanted the combine him to run as a tight end. No, he's a wide receiver, but him and Juju, like Chase Claypool presents matchup problems for people, as Derrick Henry does on with the Titans. Seriously, Alex, this is one of those.
Well, it's a toss-up game. It's going to be a great matchup. I can't wait.
It'd be a great tie.
I don't like ties. I understand where you're at. It's a toss-up there. We'll see as the season goes on, clearly, who will be truly the bigger threat. Right now, I think it is still the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both teams playing really good right now, and this will be the biggest test of the season.
Do you think they could move into the Ravens category? Because they both get their shot.
Either team?
Yes, because they both get their chance at the Ravens. The Steelers do next week.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't think it really matters. I'm going to view Baltimore, even with their one loss this year. It's just to the Chiefs. And I view Baltimore still as a top three team in football. I've had the Steelers in my top five for four of the five.
The Steelers and the Titans have a chance to overtake Baltimore. I don't think they get to play them.
Yeah, certainly if the Pittsburgh Steelers go and beat the Ravens like twice head-to-head this year or something, I'd be foolish to say that the Ravens aren't. But remember, we've got to think about matchups too. Now, we've seen the Chiefs beat the Ravens. So if you're talking about just in the NFL or to the Chiefs, because sometimes we can say the Ravens, for example, are an absolute nightmare for just about every team in football. They go out and get Ngakoue now, which is kind of what they're hoping is an answer to rushing Patrick Mahomes. And we'll see. We will find out in the playoffs when they maybe face off with each other. But the Chiefs match up well with the Baltimore Ravens. They beat them three times. They are a good matchup for Kansas City. Baltimore doesn't match up well with Kansas City, but they match up well against just about everybody else in football. So, like, that balance, I don't consider Baltimore and Pittsburgh in the same tier. No, I don't consider Baltimore and Tennessee in the same tier. I don't. Now, if they go beat them head-to-head,
I think they're 3-4. Definitively, we can say, because it's not the Bills anymore. The Colts never got to that level, but definitively, it is the Steelers and Titans at this point, right below the Ravens and Chiefs.
Last minute. Speaking of the Ravens, they're ready to allow a few thousand fans in the stands. The Baltimore Ravens have received approval from Maryland Governor Hogan and Baltimore City Mayor Young to host fans for the Ravens' November 1st game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The team said in a statement today, the applicable order allows for 10% capacity at M&T Bank Stadium. Washington also announced this morning they will start allowing fans in the very near future.
And we'll continue to see this as the year goes on. I also think there's, you know, always the outside chance that as we get into November, December, that there could also be the reverse of that.
Right before the Steelers game, huh? It's good timing.
Oh, there's plenty of pressure. Look at in New Orleans. Right? It looked like they threatened essentially the city and like, hey, look, you're not going to let us have fans. We're going to go to Baton Rouge and play at LSU at Tiger Stadium. Now, suddenly, it looks like there's going to be, the Saints are going to push forward and be allowed to have like a trial and see how it goes. I think the pressure that'll be there from some of these teams when it gets to playoff time, when it gets to December or so, will increase. I don't think it's out of question, though, that you could have the reverse happen. Look, Green Bay was supposed to have fans, and they decided, no, we're a hot spot right now, can't do it. So, Kansas City's been steady. Their next two home games, the tickets have already been sold, or they're selling them right now, and it's the same capacity limits at the, 17,000, roughly, 16,800, whatever. Fans are going to be allowed 22% fan capacity. That's going to continue. Does that increase? It's all going to just be dictated city by city and depending on how the numbers are everywhere.
The Bills were supposed to for the Chiefs game.
They wanted it.
The first two games, they weren't going to have any. They were going to lift that for the Chiefs game. It didn't happen.
Did not. No question about that. All right, come up next. Be listening for the Kansas Lottery Sounder. Your chance once again to win a $30 Rivalry Riches instant ticket prize pack and qualify for that grand prize, including rounds of golf, gaming at Main Event, and a signed Bill Self basketball. Coming up next, it's our Chiefs Insider, Pete Sweeney.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.